burden, you know, about where we are as a church. Are we engaged? You know, how many of you are runners? Were runners as kids? Raise your hand. Oh, not very many of you. I'm sorry. Talking to the wrong crowd. No, not joking. Well, you ran one or two or three or four times. You might not look good when you run, but you run. Whether you realize it or not, you might be slow, you might be fast, you might be, I don't know. But you're in the engaged. You're in this. This is in the spiritual sense, but we relate it to the physical. I remember as a kid running. I feel it was the feel of the baptism of the Holy Spirit running. I actually ran out of a tent revival, speaking in tongues, running. So running, to me, in the physical too, I enjoyed running. My nanny used to get a switch after me. Stop running through my house. I couldn't stop. I was a runner. And so I remember, I know that's a part of me. And whether we realize it or not, the race is vital to us in the spiritual sense. We are in a place, I'm burdened for the church and how we are engaging in the race that the Lord has set before us. And so when I look to the Scripture this morning, I look to the Scripture in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Let's honor His Word today. This is a powerful Word, Scripture, that we need to remind ourselves of. We are engaged in it. We are connected to it in a way where the Lord is challenging us and He is calling out to us to do the things that we need to do, and we continue to run. We continue to run no matter where we're going, what we're going through, what we're facing. We must run our race. So He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And we pray, Father, right now, we ask that we be stirred, not just stirred in emotion, but stirred in our spirit to change. Father, that You would embark upon us today and cause there to be an anchor, a foundation that cannot be shaken. In the condition we are in right now, Father, we ask that there will be a transformation. There would be inspiration. And Father, most importantly, there would be conviction, and that we would commit to the cause. In this cause, we pray for Your strength and Your help. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen and amen. You may be seated. I quote the late renowned author Mark Twain. He said this, "The two most important days in your life are the day you were born and the day you found out why." People from all walks of life and every world sector at some point look inwardly and ask themselves, is there more to my life than this? And can I truly make a significant difference? Self-worth is a dynamic in our life, and we can't ignore it. The day we are living in, people are discouraged. They're not in the race. They might think they once were, and that's enough. No, I will tell you, the race is continual. This is not a sprint. You see, I was a sprinter in school. I know as a North Oaks Mustang in junior high, I was orange and white, gold and white. And in high school, I was orange and black in the Buffalo Nation. I'm telling you right now, I know what it is to be a runner. I know what it is to train. I know what it is to be in competition. And I think about how that we were trained in school and how it was not just easy. We had to prepare. We had to do things every day. Sprints. Anybody remember sprints? Hated them. But we had to do them. We were engaged. We knew what it meant to prepare. And I think that's what happens to the church, has happened to the church, is we have lost our time of preparation, our time of engaging in the area where we need to be preparing for what God has for the future. You see, I believe, Brother Robert said it this morning, something is about to happen. Something is about to shift. We're already feeling it. And what we need to realize is that in the midst of that, there needs to be the church that is running the race, that is not sitting on the sidelines, but is in the midst of what needs to be done to win the lost before Jesus Christ comes. We are in a race, and it is significant that we keep in the race and not give up. Is anybody else in the house believe what I'm talking about? Amen. We can't live on what our parents, the race they ran. We cannot allow, I'm just going to have to preach to you a little bit. I'm just going to tell you right now, there are times when we go through things. Our season to run our race for Jerry and I, we never could see that something would happen to us that would shake us, shake our race with God. And I remember when she got sick, it shook me. It shook me to my core. And I remember that I kind of tried to reset myself. I didn't understand what season I was in. And it affected the race that I was running with God. It affected the things that I was thinking. It affected everything in me. And I remember that what happened to me was this. It was the fact that one day I was seeking God, and God was moving, and God did gloriously touch my wife and heal her from a stroke. She is recovered. She is well. She's still beautiful. She's still lovely. She's still anointed. Oh, hallelujah. She's still anointed. And I praise God for that. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. She didn't stop running, and I didn't stop running. And you know what? Sometimes you get knocked down. If you run in the righteous race, there might be something that's got you out of the race. I hear people talk about, well, I'm not where I used to be. COVID got me out of church, and I'm just not been back in church. And I'm going to tell you, they got out of the race. I'm going to tell you, COVID is behind you. Your financial problems are behind you. Your sicknesses are behind you. And even if they are not, keep running. In the race, because God wants you to make a destination. There's something for you to go. And I have found that people fall, and it's understandable. Has anybody ever run on a cinder track? Red cinder, little gravel. In the old day, that's the way it was. And if you fail, you were hamburger after. And but we had a coach that said, you run the race. Oh, okay, Coach Houck. We'll run. And he'd say, but not only that, if you fall, you better not quit. If I see you bloody, you better get up, pull your socks up, and get back in the race. You might not run, but you finish the race. That is integrity, that is character, and that is fortitude. And I want to tell you, the church has lost that. We need to realize this thing ain't over. It's not over. Can anybody say it's not over? We're still in the middle of it. Amen. We're still running our race, and I see people fall, and I'm always saying, just get back up. Just get back up and keep going. You might not look pretty anymore. You know, I used to be slim, trim, and built for speed, but now I'm, a little short and dumpy and spread out for comfort. Amen. Everybody changes, praise God. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? We change, but you still got to run the race. You might not look the same. You might not act the same. But you're smarter, I hope. I hope you're wiser. I hope you're more experienced. I hope you realize you can't stop running. Amen. You've got to run this race. Amen. And I will tell you that I remember watching Jerry improve. And I thought about this. She was going through something. I mean, I've been healthy. And so I was trying to relate. And I was... compassionate towards her. But I remember seeing the look on her face when she went to the doctor, and she had motoring skills that were impaired. But after a while, we had to go to see the doctors and to do the tests that she would, the cognitive tests, all that stuff. But you know what? One day she came out. I believe it was about the 10th month. She came out. It was mandatory. She comes out and she's got this smile on her face. Church needs to get their smile back on their face. Their joy back in their heart. You know, that we run in a race and we might have messed up. Our ministry might have messed up. Our health might have messed up. And I'm going to tell you something. When she walked out of that room and she gave that God report, he said, I don't have to come back. I kept running the race. She kept running the race. She kept doing the therapy. She kept doing what she needed to do. And I'm going to tell you something. In her spirit, she never quit. And I'm telling you, it's time for the church to rise up and say, I'm going to run this thing no matter what devil in hell comes against me, what attacks me, what tries to divert me, what tries to come and bring something into my spirit. I am not going to allow it to stop me. My kids might not be right. My finances might not be right. My body might not be acting right, but I'm going to run my race the best that I can. I'm staying in this thing. I'm going to stay where God wants me to be. Amen. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a praise in the house if you believe it. Amen. It might look different today. People from all walks of life in every world sector at some point look inwardly. They have to look to themselves. Third world countries are reeling. Jerusalem is in war. There are people in countries that are starving. There's sex trafficking is out of control. Drugs, alcohol, all of these things are part of our world. That we need to understand in the midst of this, there's something that the church can do to help, and that is to stay in the race. Is there more to my life than this? And yes, we can be significant. And we can make a difference. You're making a difference. You heard that today. Brother Steve, you're making a difference. Somebody else say, praise God, we're making a difference. Amen. We're doing what we got to do. And God is doing something in the midst of that. Don't ignore that. When we come to Jesus, we're repenting of our sins. We're placed in the heavenly race. We're not in the heavenly race in order to be saved. Salvation qualified us to be in the race. We are not running the race so we can go to heaven. Our Lord has drafted us into the race to fulfill why we were born. Before our life comes to a close in the heavenly race, the future belongs to the finisher. We will learn firsthand how to find, follow, and finish the will of God for our lives. The devil cannot stop what the church is about to do. That new season, that new shift, whatever's coming, I don't know, but I know God is going to be in the middle of it. If you're still here and you're still running, you're going to be in the midst and everything you're engaged in. You need to understand the author and the finisher of your faith. The one that saved you, redeemed you, restored you, and set you free is still running with you. You're not the only one on the track. Come on, somebody. God didn't leave you alone in the race. The Father and the Son, your author and the Holy Ghost is running with you. Oh, you might not see them. You might be in the midst of your run and something happened to you one day and you think, oh, I'm all by myself and I'm running this thing all by myself and I'm tired, I'm fatigued, I'm wore out. But you need to just look beside you and you just need to say, is he there? Oh, yes, he's there. The sweet Holy Ghost is right beside you. He might even be in front of you. He might be behind you. He might be beneath you. He might be above you. He might be on your right or your left. But wherever you are, he'll be with you, praise God. Amen. Amen. We need to forget that we're not alone. We need to forget these things that cause us to stop running. Because I tell you that right now, I think that most important things, you don't get where you where you're going by yourself. You need to understand something. Grace is running with you. Come on, somebody. Mercy's running with you. The sweet spirit strength, the ability to help you through physical weakness is there to run with you. And sometimes I hear people say, well, I'm fighting a battle in my mind. Let me just say to you right now, you need to realize you serve a God that'll help you in renewing your mind. Renewing your mind that you cannot quit. Get up. You say, oh, I fell down. Well, get back up. Well, I fell down. Well, get back. The righteous keep getting up. The righteous keep running. Amen. It's hard sometimes. It's difficult sometimes. And we're going to have, the pressure is turned up. Before Jesus Christ comes back, we're going to face some persecution. We're going to face some challenges that we never have. But I got to stand flat-footed up here and tell you in my tennis shoes that there's a race to run and the Holy Spirit is going to help us through these difficulties. The enemy is not going to stop us. We're running to a destination, amen. And there's a cloud of witnesses that are cheering us on. They're telling us, keep running. The goal is set. Hallelujah. You know what I thought about? Thought about when I watched Avery up here standing by her daddy and going to preach. I thought about that heavenly witness, Darlene Hall, that had a touch on her life. That heavenly witness that she'd have patted her on the back. She might have just kind of known. I don't know what she'd have done, but she'd have gave her an encouragement. What I'm trying to tell you, the touch of her hand on her life that said, let me tell you, she ran her race. Everybody, she was faithful in her race. We didn't want to lose her. But I will tell you, she ran her race until it was complete. And we're here left to carry on what she passed to the next generation. And let me tell you, I believe God is going to do something great and mighty in the midst of when the devil's fighting everything you're trying to do. You need to understand, stay in the race. There is a destiny for you to fulfill. Finish the race. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, finish the race. Praise God. Amen. We've got to do it. It's calling for us. You will find your God-given calling that's going to impact this generation. What does it say? 2 Thessalonians 1, 10 through 12. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed, in that day, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him. You're not in it by yourself. And then according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The calling of God is a holy thing in your life. You need to understand that it's not your comfort zone. It's not a place for you to settle in. In fact, I will tell you right now, I see a lot of people in the church that have become lazy, unengaged. Oh, yeah, see, I was going to preach and I just stopped. Well, you just quit on me right there. But I'm just going to tell you, we need to challenge ourselves. We need to charge ourselves. There's something God wants to do in us. So when you're absent, you're not doing what you need to be doing. You're not engaging. You're not being your part. You're not doing your part. I remember as a relay runner, you had to have people in the race to finish the race, help you finish the race. You had a baton that you passed. You know, and we practice that over and over and over again so we'd have it down perfect. The way you ran the race and won the race was the perfection of you passing the baton. And I'm going to tell you something. We've messed up on passing the baton. We've messed up in the race that we are engaged in, and we're not engaged. And because we're not engaged, and because there's people missing, then the baton is not being passed. And we have a generation that desperately needs us. They desperately need to see us running. It doesn't matter what they look like or what they're doing or what they're involved in. I'm going to tell you, it is the world. And we're to love the world and we're to reach the world and we got to do whatever. But you got to be in the race to reach them. You got to be in the race to keep yourself where it needs to be so that you will finish with victory. Hallelujah. I'm telling you right now, you can look pretty starting out. I remember as a kid. We had this one guy. He'd come out and he's all, you know, pretty and primped up. And he had his big old long socks on, you know, and he was all dressed up in his uniform. And we were thinking, he don't even know what he's about to get into. I mean, he was in the 440. And oh, you ought to have seen him, people. At the end of the race, he was going. He was having a bad time. His socks were all the way down to his ankles. He was sweating profusely. Come on, somebody. And we were all saying, just keep running. It's going to be all right. But he got a real reality check. Sometimes we don't look good after a race. Sometimes we messed up after a race. Sometimes in the race. Sometimes we're trying to find our way in the process. But let me just say to you right now that purpose and that destiny is the goal. You see, you got to run the race to get the prize. You don't have to run fast. You don't have to be the record keeper. You don't have to be the fastest in the group. Just keep running. Keep running because God has something, I believe, powerful thing. The holy thing that He has is for this next generation. They're not exempt from it. They might be rebelling. They might be running. But let me tell you something. The 10th and final sign before Jesus Christ comes back is that this gospel will be preached to every nation, every cult, and every creed. And I'm going to tell you, we hadn't done it yet, but we need to keep on running so that we spread this gospel wherever we can. And when we do missions and when we do ministry, I'm telling you, somebody's hearing the gospel and God's doing a work and there's going to be lives changed. Somebody ought to say, praise God. He wants to do something mighty in our midst again. Help us. Help us. You see that holy thing that's within us. For the gifts and calling of God in Romans 11:29 are without repentance. Never take the gifts and abilities given to you by God for granted. God's gifted you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's gifted you. Listen. You can say, I can't sing like Sister Jerry. And neither can I. All of my kids can sing. I can't sing a lick. Come on, somebody. But I cheer them on. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I sound like a bullfrog on a lily pad. Amen. Croak, croak, croak. But God gifted them that way. And I cheer them on. And I want them to know that I'm encouraging them. Whatever God has gifted to them to be and do, they need to be in the race and keep that gift before the Lord because it is a holy thing. I saw Avery up here. Let me tell you something about Avery. She's standing there, and I saw a preacher. I've already got a daughter that's a preacher. I know God gifts us, and God keeps this going to the next generation. And we can't stop. If God has given us, it's without repentance. You can't. I mean, once He calls you, you're called. Come on, somebody. Once He gives you a gift. I had a friend that she stopped singing, and then her sisters, she got back in church, and she tried to sing, and she couldn't sing because she didn't use her gift. And so her sisters said, let us pray for you. So they prayed, and the Holy Spirit came down and anointed her. And guess what? She got up the next Sunday and sang more beautiful than I'd ever heard her sing. She got out of her gift, but she got back in the race, and God gave her the strength and re-gifted her and restored her and strengthened her to do what she needed to do. What I'm trying to tell you, you might be out of the race. Just get back in, because what God's doing in you is a holy thing. It's a God. Oh, and it is a God thing, and God wants to make it grow in a mighty way. Amen. We serve a sovereign God, and He is in control. How many of you know He's in control? Everybody say, He's in control.
He's in control.
He didn't pay half price for you. He paid the full price for you. And He has a plan and a purpose for your life destiny. Every day God wakes you up. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. You're not just taking up an earth suit. Every day God wakes you. You say, well, I'm not doing what I used to do. Well, that's okay. Find something to do. Find a way to race. Find a way to get in the race. Come on, somebody. You know, I think about Sister Long. Here's that woman loves everybody, sends cards to everybody, and she's resting. She needs prayer. But you know what? Somebody else, step in line. Help her out. Let her know it's carrying on. Encourage her to get well. What I'm trying to tell you is it don't stop. Did you hear what I'm saying? It don't stop. Somebody's got to take up the slack. Somebody in the next generation or somebody in the church needs to step up and say, you know what? I thank God for what He's called me to do, and I do have a destiny. I do have a purpose, and I want to do what God has called me to do. Amen? I want to reach that purpose. I want to fulfill that destiny in my life. In Jeremiah 1, 4 and 6 says, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in thy belly of I knew thee, and before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee, and a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. In other words, let me just tell you right now, when you start out, you're not the same when you finish. I saw Avery up here, and I saw her, and she was and energetic, and she was excited, but I'm going to tell you that she's not where she's going to be. She might be preaching like her poppy. Come on, somebody. I don't know, but whatever God wants her to do and however God wants to develop her, and she's in the race and she can start the race right now, somebody ought to say, praise God, I know that there's something to do. Every person, every child, every one of our generation needs to realize there's something for us to do. And I can't say it enough, God has something in store for the church if we'll just get back in the race and do what God has called us to do. It's holy, it's a destiny, it's purpose for what is ahead. There is a future. There are things for us to fulfill. God strategically, listen, He strategically positioned you where you are and the path you are on right now. God is in your progression and purpose. He has already been where you are going. Oh, come on, somebody. He's already been where you're going. So how'd that happen? Well, he says in the Word, David said in Psalms 37, 23 and 25, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Let me just tell you right now, You and I need to understand that there's a process. And I'm glad I'm not what I used to be. I'm glad I'm not the same. I don't look the same. I'm not physically able. But I will tell you, there's something inside of me that's so excited this morning to say, you know what? You might be nearly 70, but there's a spirit in me that is fully alive. It's fully engaged. Well, hallelujah! Somebody say we need to praise God more. We need to glorify God more for the things that we do have. Not what we don't have or what we used to have. We need to say, God, thank you for the things that we do have and the things that you're already getting ready for us in the future. We can't see it. We can't see it. I couldn't see it. You know, I had to be pushed. Brother Steve will know what I called Brother Steve. I said, Brother Steve, I'm going to start evangelizing. We met. We talked. That was my plan. And then I realized, you know, I needed to step back and say, God, what's your plan? What do you want me to do? 4 times they called me to go pastor a church in West. I said, I'm not going to West Texas. I've been to West Texas. I don't want to go. And 4 times they called me. How many of you know that I started to say I'm hard-headed, but that wasn't what I was going to say. Anyway, sometimes you can be hard-headed. Sometimes you can be resistant. So finally, I said, you know what? I'm going to pray. Before I prayed, I went to my wife and I said, "Honey," she looked at me. She said, I know. You're gonna go to that church and preach." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." "It's okay." Boy, it's good to have a good wife. Okay. If that's what God wants for us, then He'll work it out. I'm going to tell you, I was by my family. I was here. I was liking it. And I love them all. I love you all. I'm going to tell you, I got to please God. I have to please God. And the urgency and the continual. And I went and preached. And immediately, there was a connection. And we've been there for a little over a year. And that congregation has doubled. It was down to nothing. And God has caused it to grow. I'm not saying it's me. I'm saying it's being obedient to the race that God is in control of in your life. And that He's carrying you through. When you stay committed to what He's called you to do in your destiny, you're going to have bad days. You're going to have days you don't feel like running. I'm tired. What's the use? I'm telling you, it is a difficult thing. We need to get out of that wimp mentality. You know what wimp is, don't you? Wimpy. Yeah. We become wimpy. Everything gets, I can't do that today. Some excuse. Y'all are really getting quiet, so I know I'm meddling. But anyway. But can I just tell you something? I've challenged my church. I said, they would say, "Well, I did this and I did that." And I would say, "Well, why aren't you still doing it? Why aren't you still doing it?" And they didn't have an excuse. I said, every one of us has excuses. There are thousands of them. But I said, you need to understand you're vital to the ministry. And now it's shifting back. And we have that thing that's in us that says, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But if I'll have this mentality, no matter what I face tomorrow, I am going to get up and I'm going to get in the race. And I'm going to engage in the race. And I'm going to do my part. Amen. Because what you're going to find out, the devil is afraid of the race you engage in. Because when you're racing with the author and finisher of your faith, and you're engaged in what God is calling you to do, there's something that He's working inside of you. There's something that He is doing to develop you and strengthen you for the future. And I say this because I see a shift in our church in Big Spring. I see that God has changed it. And I know that there has been change here. But I will tell you, it's the season of the race. Don't give up on the race. Don't give up on the church. Don't give up on your ministry. Don't give up on what God has called you to do. Because I'm telling you, we're not done. We're not finished. We got to keep running towards the destination. Does anybody hear what I'm saying this morning? Amen. You know what it's about? You ever thought about it this way? It's about finishing God's will. Have we sought the will of God for what we're doing? That's what I had to do. God put me back in the race. It looks different. But I had disengaged myself. I had thought I was going to do it my way. We can't do it that way. God's will, and then joining the heavenly host of saints, past, present, and future. The heavenly race, I close with this, the heavenly race brings into precise perspective, our ministry. Let me just say to you what happens. Everybody in this room needs to know, you don't look the same, but you're headed somewhere, and it's called going deeper. Our thoughts become crystal clear, and our faith becomes stronger and full of the Holy Spirit determination. Determination to say, I know it looks different, but I know something is about to happen. I know God is going to do something good. Amen? He's going to do something for me. He's going to do something for my brothers and my sisters. He's going to do something for the church that is going to take us to that place when the trump of God sounds. And when we cross the finish line, we can look back and say we ran the race and we finished the course. We fought the good fight. Come on, somebody. We did what we needed to do to fulfill what God has called us to do. Hebrews 4:1-3, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into the his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. In other words, we have a choice. I'm going to stop there because I feel like we need to pray this for some folks this morning. I really believe that there's some people here that came to say, I need a touch of the Lord. I need to be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged because you never know when there's going to be a change. You never know when something is going to shift. And you need to be in the race to experience it. How many of you know sometimes people miss what God has prepared for them because they're not present? They're not in the race. They're not engaged. And God has something already prepared. He's already gone before them to have something ready to pour into them, to put into their spirit. And we got to be careful. We got to be careful that we're not missing that. Amen? And I remember in school, there's this kid named Larry O'Neill. And he outran all of us. And he would parade around and stick his head up. He was taller than everybody. And I remember one day, we have another friend. I have a friend that was in my school. His name was Larry Harris. And he ran hard. And he would come so close to beating this kid. And I remember one day, in his boasting, you know, the devil's boasting.
Oh, yeah.
I got the church right where I want them. Look at me. You can't beat me. You can't overcome me. I'm right here with you to stop your race. And I remember one day, we were at Richland High School. We can't forget this. He's running. He throws his arm out like this. And Larry Harris ran right under his arm and won the race. See, that's what the devil's doing. I got the church whipped. And then we're going to run by him like he's standing still. We're going to run by him and say, the prize is won. You're defeated in Jesus' name. And we're going to get our prize. Hallelujah. And the church is going to be victorious and win what God has prepared already for us. If you're ready for that, would you just raise your hand and say, Lord, I'm ready for what you have for me. Amen. For the church. Praise God. Praise God. I want my kids to come up here with me. Stand beside me. I want Avery and Brandon to come up here too. I want us to spread out. We're going to do it the old-fashioned way. You know what? If you want, you're saying, you know, Pastor, I just hadn't felt myself. I just feel like I'm not worthy. I just feel like that there's some things that are out of balance. I'm not showing off, but I am kind of bragging a little bit. That's okay. Is that all right? Michelle, Andrew, get up here. What do you think you're doing? There ain't no sitting back. You need anything. These kids know how to pray. Come on, somebody. Come on, baby. Stand up, Rebecca. Come on, I want you to get up. Let's do it this way. Let's do it simple. Let's come over on this side. Let's form a line. Or you can come up and stand in front of them if you want to. It's all right. I want you to come. We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray as a body.